So do we have any forgetful people? Perhaps, raise your hand if you've lost your keys before. Oh, all right, okay. Or how about, have you ever been locked out of your house? Really? I mean, not that like your wife or husband kicked you out, but that you were locked out of the house, you know? So, as a kid, walking home after school, I reached the front door, and I reached for my pocket, and guess what? No keys. I searched my backpack, my jacket, nothing, right? In the meantime, my parents, they're at work, and they don't come home until 6 or 7 p.m. So I'm kind of stuck, no? Kind of stuck outside. What should I do? I feel nervous, scared, trapped, helpless, right? And perhaps this is similar. This is what Martha and Mary felt regarding their brother Lazarus. They felt nervous. They were scared. They were trapped. They were helpless. They didn't know what to do with their brother that was ill and died. And where was Jesus to help, right? But if you think about it, this is exactly what the cycle of sin does to us. Sin blocks us from the love of Jesus and keeps us locked out. And we feel sometimes that there's no way out or no way in, right? And especially in today's society, I think one of the greatest misunderstandings of sin is that it's just a private thing. Sin is just a private thing just between me and God. Do you agree with that? Sin is just a private thing. Just, okay, I commit some sins, but it's just between me and God. It has nothing to do with my wife, nothing to do with my family. It's just a private thing. Well, let me tell you, every sin affects other people. Take, for example, an alcoholic, right? Just go to work, you come back, one beer. Is that going to kill somebody? One beer. I mean, come on. I'm just drinking a beer. I mean, I'm supporting the company. I'm supporting Budweiser, Coors Light. I'm supporting them. You know, what's no harm done? One beer. I'm not going to kill anybody. Really? Really? You know? Oh, fine. Okay, maybe it'll affect, like, my health. Maybe my belly. Okay, maybe I'll get a beer belly. Okay, one pack. That's fine. Well, you know? And maybe if I drink a lot, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-pack, 12-pack, okay, I might die a couple of years earlier, but hey, it's a long life, you know? Who cares? You know? It's not going to affect anybody. Is that true? No. Let me tell you. Statistics show for every alcoholic, at least 9 other people are affected. For every alcoholic, at least 9 people, whether it's family or friends, 9 other people suffer from your disease, suffer from your sins. Don't tell me it's just between you and God's little private little thing. At least 9 people suffer. And I would say that is true for any addiction, you know, shopaholics, you know, sexaholics, okay? Any kind of addiction you have, okay? It's not just a private thing. At least 9 other people suffer from it. Your loved friends and family suffer from your sins, right? And what about like little things? What about like little things? Come on, it's, you know, just, you know, little kids. Well, I mean, I was mean to someone. I said 2 bad words today. You know, or maybe at work, I did a little Twitter here, you know, tweet, gossip there. And maybe at school, I was like, did you know? Gossip there. Come on. I didn't kill anybody. Is that a bad thing? Come on. Who cares? All right? What's the big deal? Every sin, even if it's a little thing, even if it's a venial sin, okay, it affects other people. You gossip about your coworker there, your coworker here, right? You hurt that person, right? And that person finds out, they can get mad, they can retaliate, they can get into a cycle of depression, who knows, right? Any kind of sin, you name it, I can tell you, And you know yourself how it affects other people and how it hurts us as a whole. Every private sin has a social effect. Every private sin is a social sin, right? And what I see is that most of us, rather than doing something about it, we are kind of shackled up. We are kind of bound by our sins. We are like walking zombies, I think. Have you ever seen a walking zombie? You have? I haven't. But I've seen it in the movies, you know, walking zombies. Walking zombies looks a lot like some of my seniors that I teach, you know, in the morning. First period, 7:30 a.m. religion class, you know, at St. Francis High School. Walking zombies look a lot like some people who go to Mass. Lord be with you. Walking zombies looks a lot like someone who has things weighing him down. He can't forgive someone. Maybe he feels guilty. Maybe he's suffering from an addiction. Maybe he cannot find the light, but pretends like everything is okay and lives life, you know, just going through the motions. And in the meantime, his family and friends, they're also affected by it as a whole. And they're all living like zombies in spiritual bondage, right? But guess what? What did Jesus say in the gospel today? What does Jesus say to Lazarus? What did Jesus say to Lazarus who's dead? Lazarus, come out. Come out, come out. Lazarus has been dead for how many days? 4 days, full of stench. And Jesus brings him to life. The first reading from Ezekiel says, I will open your graves and have you rise from them and bring you back to the land of Israel. This is what freedom, this is what living life is all about. Not being shackled up, not being bound by anything but the love of Jesus. And Jesus tells the people in the gospel, untie Lazarus, untie him, unbind him, let him go, right? And if you think about it, if Jesus can unbind us even from death, what is he not capable of unbinding us from, right? He is capable of unbinding us from everything and anything, right? As the second reading from Romans says, if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is alive because of righteousness. The secret to living a life in liberation, free from being shackled up, free from spiritual bondage, looks a little bit something like this. So going back to when I was a kid, I was locked out. My parents not going to come home till 6 or 7. Guess what I did? No, I didn't go to Starbucks, you know. I didn't break a window, you know. I finally decided to call my parents, you know, my mother more than my father, because, you know, didn't want to get into trouble. So I called my mother, and I said, well, you know what, I'm locked out. I made a little boop, boop, boo-boo error, okay? What should I do? I mean, should I go to my friend's house? Can you just pick me up? You want me to just wait outside and just, you know, be stuck outside? What do you want me to do? And my mother, her tone of voice started to get real quiet, soft, soft, soft tone of voice. And she said, Stephen, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you a little secret. But you have to promise me you will never tell anyone. I said, oh, okay, all right, go ahead, you know. Now, I want you to open the gate and go to the backyard. Because the gate is open. I mean, it's unlocked, right? So go to the gate, go to the backyard, okay? Go look and go towards the Mary statue we have in the backyard, okay? And now below it, there are many rocks. One of those rocks it has a key attached to it. I'm like, whoa there. I felt like a man that day, you know? I mean, now I know the secret key hiding spot. You know? Now I know the secret key hiding spot. Raise your hand, members of the elect. Okay, couple. All right. We have the members. Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. Members of the elect. Consider those sitting in the front. Those who will become baptized. Baptized as a child of the light. You will be completely unbound, free at the moment of your baptism. Right? When I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's your secret key right there. That's your secret key from being shackled up. Free. Unbound from anything and everything. For us, you and I, members of the baptized, we have already experienced this at the moment of our baptism, but we still got some issues, no? We still are kind of shackled up, no? We still are living in spiritual bondage, no? We still are living like walking zombies, no? And what is our secret key hiding spot? What is our secret key? And where do you go to get that? Confession. When you go to confession and you hear the words, I absolve you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not only is God forgiving you, but you are being freed. Freed from being shackled up. Free from being in spiritual bondage. Free from anything that binds you to now live in right relationship with God. So that you won't be like a walking dead zombie. You won't have that stench of sin. Right? The stench of sin that affects all your loved ones. That affects at least 9 other people. You know what I mean? So your homework this week, it involves something doing something during the middle of the week, okay? Picture yourself. You locked out. You're nervous. You're scared. You're trapped. You're helpless. You are spiritually bound. You're shackled up. You're like a walking zombie. You're weighed down by sin. And the smell, it's the stench, it affects the people that you love and care about. And you hear Jesus saying the same words he said to Lazarus. You hear Jesus saying, come out. Untie him. Let him go. Right? Come and discover. Discover your secret key. Your secret key hiding spot. Unlock the door. Experience the light. Be unbound by God's love and mercy by going to confession. By going to confession before Holy Week, this Wednesday, okay? Going to confession this Wednesday, April 9th, 7 p.m.